We begin the current daf Masechtas Gittin, daf Pei Alef. We begin on the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing different psulim that happened through the writing of the get. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Kasav Legarish es Ishta v'nimlach. If a husband wrote a get to divorce his wife, and he changed his mind, didn't end up divorcing her, says the Mishnah, Beishamei Oimrim Pasal Menach Kuhuna. Beishamei say, he has already invalidated her from Kuhuna, which is based on the halachic principle known as Reich HaGet, which, although she's really not divorced, but just because that there was some element of divorce here, that he wrote the get for her, that already invalidates her from Kuhuna as if she was divorced, and then she's invalidated from Kuhuna as if she's a Grusha. Again, even though she really wasn't divorced, as we see in other places in this Masechta, this concept of what's known as Reich HaGet, the scent of a get, is just an aroma, there's some hint, an allusion to divorce, it already makes her problematic for getting. That's Beishamai's opinion. Well, Beis Hillel say, no. Ava Pisha Nosnu Law. Even if he gave her the get, Al Tanai, but it was on condition that she fulfills a certain condition, V'loi Nasa Tanai, and the condition wasn't done, Loi Pasa Man Akuna. Even then, Beis Hillel holds she's not going to be invalidated from Akuna because she was never divorced. And that is, it wasn't even a Reich HaGet, because a Reich HaGet is just some element of divorce over here. There was no element. Forget about writing. That's for sure no divorce. He could write a get as long as he doesn't give it to her. Says Basil, even if he gave it to her, but she didn't fulfill the condition, so it's like she never got a, quote, get, because the conditions that were stipulated were never fulfilled. Says Basil, even in such a case, she would not be invalidated from Kuhuna as a Grusha. So let's say if later her husband dies, she's just an Almana and she could marry a Kohen. Now, relating to this halacha, the Gemara brings the following incident. Shalach le'Rav Yosef bereder of Menashe Midvil, he sent this question l'Shmuel as follows. It says, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, let our teacher teach us regarding the following case, even according to Beis Hillel, and that's the principle that the Gemara is asking over here. Yatza lav koil. If let's say there's a rumor that goes out that ish pleini koyin, that fellow, that's a koyin, Kosav get le'ishti. The word out on the street is that he wrote a get for his wife. Now again, just writing, as we said, according to Beis Hillel, is not a problem. You could even give it if it's not fulfilled the ketanayim, it's not a get. But the word has gone out, as we'll see the significance, that he quote, wrote a get for his wife. But, b'yeshev is tachtav v'misham shasay. As far as we know, she's still living with him and she's serving him. So the question was as follows, regarding this incident, that the word is out that this Kohen had divorced his wife. In other words, because the rumor on the street is that he, quote, wrote the get, as we'll see the significance of what does it mean, wrote the get. So, Mahu, what's the halacha? He wanted to know, would we make him divorce her, meaning that she has to leave, meaning even according to Beis Hillel, because of the rumor that people shouldn't say that, oh, we know he wrote a get to his wife, meaning he divorced her, so how's he living with her? Must mean that the Kohen was Machzeh Gerushah, so he remarried the woman that he divorced, which is forbidden for a Kohen. A regular Yisrael could remarry a woman he divorced if she hasn't married anyone in the interim. But a Kohen, the second he divorces her, he can't take her back because she's a Grusha. So what's the halacha? Do we have to be concerned for the rumors that people are going to say that, oh, must mean that he had divorced her because we know he wrote a get, but he remarried her, which is forbidden, and therefore we can't let them stay in this relationship, and we would make them remove each other from the relationship. So Shalach le'to Shmuel answered back, he said, Teitze, yes, that because of the rumors, she has to leave the marriage, but, meaning because the rumors out there that he, quote, wrote a get for her, so the word's out that he divorced her, and if he's living with her, must mean he remarried his Grusha, but he said, V'adavet tzarech bedika, but you first have to check into this before you make her leave the marriage. So the Gemara asked, Mahi, what is that? What did Shmuel say? Meaning if the word's out that he divorced her, so obviously there's concern people are going to say he married Gerushasa, which is forbidden for Kain. So what did Shmuel say that you first got to look into this before you send her out? If it is regarding the following question, that if we can silence the people of the cities from saying these rumors, meaning we could be mevatlika, we could nullify, we could void the rumors that are going around town, we could go shh, we could stop people from saying those things, and if that's the case, then she wouldn't have to leave because now no one's talking about that she was divorced, the rumors are not being spread, and therefore no one's going to say that she's a grusha for him, so therefore they could stay in the marriage. Or the question was that you have to check if maybe you won't be able to get them to stop talking, and if that's the case, then you do have to make her leave, because then people are going to say he married grusha, so... In fact, the Gemara says, that can't be what Shmuel was telling him. Because when Bahon Narda Astray de Shmuel, he Narda was the town where Shmuel was the leader. Ubinarda Loimavat Likala. In Narda, they don't do that thing. The judges of the city do not go out to stop the people from making the rumors because of a concern. What's the concern? That people, the rabble rouse in the town, are going to say, "Ha, the judges, you see, you know what the judges do? They are actually supporting the sinners." Because we know this guy, let's say in this case that we're discussing, that he took back a woman that he divorced, and the judges are coming, "Shh, don't say that she was divorced." And then they're going to say, "Look, because they support sinners, that's why they're saying that." Which actually, as the Gemara tells us later on in Perek HaMagash and Peites HaMan Aleph, that in Surah, they were Mevatli Kala. They would go out and they would stop people from saying those rumors. And if no one's going to say that he had divorced her, then they'll be able to maintain that marriage because the word's not out there. And no one's saying that he obviously married Grushasa. But in Arda, they would loy Mevatli Kala. They wouldn't go ahead and do that because they were concerned that people are going to paint them as they're this problem because you're supporting sinners because we know that he had divorced her. So the Gemara asked, that can't be what Shmuel had said to first check out to see if you could stop the people from saying these rumors, because in Arda they don't do that. So Ela Rav, the Gemara says, what Shmuel meant was the bedika that you have to do is the ikaru l'nesina kesiva. What you have to first check, he said, was that if it's normative in that city, do they call giving a get kesiva writing a get? Then, if when someone gives a get, they say, "Oh, that guy Cohen, he wrote a get to his wife." They don't just mean he wrote, they mean he gave it. Then that's a valid rumor. That, in other words, because since people are saying that, quote, he wrote a get, that's why he said it's significant, he wrote a get for his wife, that writing really means to say he gave a get to his wife, because they call giving writing. So if that's the case, he says, if you find that out, that in that place they call giving writing, then that's a valid rumor. People are saying that he, quote, divorced his wife, because although they say he gave it, means that he wrote it, it means he gave it. So then, how is he staying married to his wife? Must be that he was machzik rishasa. That's problematic. We don't want people to say that. That's why we're going to have to send her out. But if they don't call nesina kesiva, so then there's no kol, there's no problem. No one's going to suspect this kain for being machzik rishasa, taking back the woman he divorced, because there's no rumors at all that he gave a get to his wife, just that he wrote the get. It's okay. You could write a get. According to Beis Hillel, there's no problem if you wrote a get. You could maintain that marriage. Now, however, on that, the Gemara asks, wait a second. So what was Shmuel bothered with? Why did he make this woman have to leave the marriage? Because even v'chi karol l'nesina k'siva, even if you're going to say that, okay, let's say it's a town where they call when someone gives a get, that he, quote, wrote a get, why would Shmuel require the woman to leave the marriage in that case? But l'chsiva gufa mila karol k'siva? But don't they call when the husband writes a get to his wife also that he just wrote a get to his wife? In other words, so who says, when these people are saying, when the word's out on the street, that this guy, quote, wrote a get to his wife, who said it means that he gave a get to his wife? You're right. When you give, you say right. But when you write, you also say right, W-R-I-T-E. So maybe this kain just wrote a get to his wife. So yeah, it could be either or, but why would we make him divorce? Why should we assume that people are going to say, oh, he's machzik rishasa, because we know he wrote a get. Yeah, maybe he just wrote and not, quote, wrote, which means to say that he gave. So the Gemara says, actually, in such a case, we would be concerned. Because the I Megalia Milsa, the Karol and the Sinik Siva, because if we find out that in that place, they call giving a get, writing a get, because that's the custom in the people in that city, that yes, even though you're right, that when someone just writes a get for his wife, they call that also writing, but we're concerned for the rumors that are going around town, and we're going to say that Dilma Nosin Ka'amri, that maybe what they're saying really when the word's out that he wrote a get, it means that he gave a get. And that's why Tate say, that's why she's going to have to leave the marriage because of the concern of the rumors, because a lot of times people think in the worst case, and therefore, even though it could mean either or writing or giving, but since giving also means writing, and then people are going to say, well, I know he wrote a get to his wife. That could definitely mean that he gave the get to his wife, because that's what when we say writing, we mean also giving. But I see he's married to his wife. Oh, maybe he's machzik rishasa. What's this guy doing? He's a kain. He took a divorcee. So because of that concern, that's why Shmuel said, yes, she has to leave the marriage. But again, like he said, v'adavet tzarech bedika, just first find out if in that town they call nesina k'siva, then you're concerned. But if they don't call nesina k'siva, so all they said was he wrote a get to his wife, so then that's just writing. And according to Beis Hillel, that's not a problem. And then they would be able to stay married. Now, however, the Gemara comes out at this halacha from a different angle. But Vashi said, "Kol kala debas nisun." Any rumors about a married woman that happen after she's married, loy chashin and lay, we're not concerned for the rumors. In other words, although the Gemara teaches us later on the Peches Mabez, that we are concerned for rumors. For example, in the case where the Mishnah talks about, if let's say this word goes out about a certain woman, that she's engaged to a certain man. So the halacha is, we consider her mikudeshes, she's forbidden to marry someone else until that person gives her a get, because if the word's on the street like that, we're concerned for that. So we are concerned for rumors. But that's only when the rumor goes out before she gets married to someone else. But if a woman's already married to someone else, we're not concerned for rumors. And therefore, in this case, where this woman has been married to her husband that's a kohen for many, many years. So because now there's rumors going around that she's divorced, so what, if the Gemara's Vashi's question is, so you think now we're going to make her leave the marriage because of this rumor that's going out after that she's married? But we're not concerned, we don't care what the street is saying regarding a married woman, that the rumors only start after that she's married. So why is Shmuel saying that if the rumor is that yes, where they call Nesina Kesiva, that she was given a get by her husband, and because of the rumors we make her leave, but the halacha we know is that we're not concerned for rumors that are circulating around a woman after that she was married. So the Gemara says, you're right. From her husband, we would not make her leave, because we're not concerned for rumors that happened about a woman after that she's married. My Tetze Nami, what did Shmuel mean when he said that because of the rumors she's going to have to leave the marriage? It's Tetze Misheni. She's going to have to leave her second husband. In other words, if her current husband, the kohen, ends up dying, so she's just an almana. An almana could marry another kohen. So she ends up marrying another kohen. That's what Shmuel says, that she's going to have to leave the second marriage of that second kohen because she already had the rumors that she was a divorcee many years before that, before she married that second kohen. So there was lefnei nisuin. Those rumors we're concerned for. You're right, her current husband would only happen after that she was married. We're not concerned for. The second guy who she ends up marrying, that kohen, there, the rumors were before she got married to him, and then she'll have to leave that marriage. Now, the Gemara asks a very practical question. Im kain, if that's the case, that Shmuel is requiring her to leave the marriage of the second kohen that she marries as a widow, so you're going to be circulating rumors regarding the sons that she has from the first husband that she had, because people are going to say, wait a second, what do you mean that she has to leave the second husband? Oh, because the rumors are true? When we heard when she was married to the first guy, there was a certain point in their marriage that we heard that he gave her a get, and that's why she has to leave the second husband, because she actually wasn't a widow, she wasn't almana, she was actually a grusha from the first one. That means the children that she had after that point in the middle of their marriage, those children are actually chalalim, because it means to say that she was actually living with him in sin because he was machzik gerushasai. So it really turns out that it was true. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, you're really back to the problem, because we said that we don't consider rumors regarding the first husband when she was married, but you're actually retroactively, by removing her from the second guy, creating problems for the first marriage that she had from the children from that marriage. People are going to say that they are chalalim. I thought the Gemara says no, actually not. Because kiven de mishenehu de mefkinon lo, since in practice we see they were only making her leave the marriage to the second kohen, umirishon lo mefkinon lo, but from the first guy, even if let's say from that rumor till he dies is a period of 10 years, we don't make her leave. Us to lameima, people will say that only samach lemisa gersha, that it was only towards the end of his life, right before he died, after they had already had children, it was then that the first guy had divorced her. And that's why they'll say that sages are making her leave from the marriage of the second kohen. And they're not going to solidify the rumors that had happened, let's say, in the middle of their marriage, because if that was the case, that was really true, then the sages would have made her leave even from the marriage of the first one. And therefore, there won't be any rumors about her children, because they'll obviously know that it wasn't really, that those rumors were not substantiated, because or else she would have left then, and we see that they let her stay with her first husband for the next, whatever, 15, 20 years, and therefore the children are not problematic. Why are they making her leave from the second husband? They'll say it was because that probably towards the end of his life he gave her a get, and that's why she's considered a grusha and not an almana, and that's why she has to leave the second guy. But again, actually in practice, it really is from those first rumors, and it's just that we're not concerned that people are going to say that it's problematic for her children, and the reason why it is a concern, those rumors for the second one, is because those rumors are before the marriage she has for the second one. Again, this is just to clarify the halacha that Shmuel said. Again, even though Beis Hillel says that when it's just writing, we're not concerned for, let's say, like Bishamis said, a Briach HaGet, But if writing could mean giving, then that's a valid rumor, which, because of that, from the second husband, she'll have to leave, not from the first one, because those rumors only happen after she is already married many years with her first husband, the kain. Now, relating to the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara says an interesting contrast. Amar Rabbi B'Vachana Amar B'Yechnon, Mishur M'Bihuda Bar Eloi. He says, Boyre, come and see. Shaloike Deris Rishainim, Deris Achrainim. The earlier generations are very, very different than the later generations. Who do we mean, Deris Rishainim, Deris Achrainim? Deris Rishainim Beis Shammai. The earlier generations are referenced to Beis Shammai. Whereas we find in our Mishnah that he was so stringent regarding the sanctity of the lineage that relating to Kahuna, that they made a woman forbidden to marry into Kahuna just because her husband wrote her a get. Didn't even give it. Just that was already enough to say, no, there's an element, there's a shmek, there's something here that smells of divorce, and that's already a problem for Kahuna. We don't allow this woman to marry a Kayan. Whereas Dorisa, Chrayinim, Reb Daisa, look at the contrast for the later generations, which is a reference to Reb Daisa. The time like we learned the Braisa. Shavuya Echeles Betruma Div Reb Daisa. Reb Daisa says that a woman that was taken into captivity could continue eating truma. She's not problematic for Kahuna. And Reb Daisa explains why. Says, V'chima Asa La Arviza, what did this Arab captor do to this Jewish woman already? Because he pressed her between her breasts, meaning that he played with her pasum and kahuna, that invalidates her from kahuna. In other words, Reb Dais is not concerned that the captor, who could be this wild guy, didn't do anything inappropriate, didn't cohabit with this woman. So look at the contrast. Where here, a woman's in captivity with these Arab captors, and even so, he says, no problem for kahuna. And Beis Shammai, the other extreme, the Deris Rishayim, just from writing a get, already makes the woman puzzle for kahuna. Similar contrast, also from Amar Rabbi B'Chana Amar B'Yechad Meshur M'Bihud Bar Loi, he says again, B'Yir'eh, come and see, Shalaika Deris Rishayim Deris Achrayim, a huge gap between the early generations and the later generations, which are, Deris Rishayim, the earlier generations, Machnisim Periseyin Derech Traksamayin. They would bring their produce into the house through this Traksamayin, which is the main path that comes from the outside inside to their houses. Now, why did they do that? K'del Chayven B'Maiser. They wanted to obligate their produce in tithes. Because the halacha is that tevel, untithed produce, does not become obligated in the maestras and tithes until it sees the entryway of the house. So it's only if you come through the path that goes through the gate, which excludes, as we'll see the later generations do, if you bring it in a roundabout way. You bring it through your courtyard or you bring it through the roof and then you drop it through the roof. There, actually, you're not obligated in maestras because we learn it out as the Gemara Bab Metzi learns in Pechesim and Aleph from V'achlu B'Sharecha, that you eat it in your gates, meaning if it comes through your shower, it has to come through the front door. So they wanted to fulfill the mitzvahs. They wanted to do maestras, so they would specifically bring it through the front door. Daris Achrayna, but the later generations, what do they do? Yeah, legal loopholes. And it's halachically valid. But what do? Machnis and Peris saying they bring their produce derech gagash, through the roof. Derech kafif is through enclosed areas, kadela poitrim in a maisa, to get away, to be exempt from maisa. Because the Amr Bian, like Rabbi Yonah says, einat tevel meschayv b'maisa, the untithed produce does not become obligated in maisa, achi yura p'nei abayis, until it sees the front of the house, the entryway. Shnema, because like it says the pasuk in Devarim, the person says by vidu maisa, when he's fulfilled the tithing, at the end of the third year, he says, be'arti ha-kodesh min habayis. I liquidated the Kodesh, a reference to the Maestras, from the house, meaning it has to be where the house is from the front, and that's the only way it becomes obligated, so they would specifically take it in a roundabout way to be exempt from the halachas of Maestras. Now, Rabbi Yechon, he just says, actually, afilo chotzek avas. It's not only when you see the Pnei Abayis, even if in the courtyard, that already obligates the chiyuv of Maestras. Shnema, like it says the pasuk before that, it says va'ochlu b'sherecha b'seveyu, that they will eat in their gates and they'll be satiated, which Rashi Bab Metzia says, meaning from the moment that it comes into your gates, even if it's a shahr of the chatzir, it already obligates the person for the maestras. But again, we see this contrast where the earlier generations were so stringent in their kiyum mitzvahs, and the later ones, although also in a halachically valid way, but much more lenient in their interpretation of following the Torah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme about invalidations regarding the get. So the Mishnah says, Hamagarshes Ishta, if someone divorces his wife, gave her a get, they did the whole proceedings. But then, V'lonne imay bepundiki, then they spent the night together in a motel. So Beshami oimim inetzrichem en a get sheni. So Beshami says, okay, we don't require another get, she's divorced from him, whatever happened happened, but we don't require that to think that maybe Shechi is married again to him, and that we would require a second get from him for her to be considered divorced. Whereas the Pesilla, I'm Tzrichim and the Get Sheni, but the Pesilla says that no, that she needs to get another get from him, which I will explain the reason for that. Now, says the Mishnah, Emasai, when did we say this Machlekes B'Sham Pesilla? That's Bizman Shenes Garsha Min HaNisuin, when she was divorced from being married to him. However, Umeidim Ben Niskarshim and Eresim, but Pesilla agrees, if the divorce, the get that he had given her, was only from engagement, they were only engaged, and then he divorced her, she'ein etzrichem en get sheni, that she does not require a second get from him, memnei she'ein liba gaspa, because he's not so comfortable with her to have done anything in an intimate way with her, and therefore there's no concerns for anything, and therefore we don't have to think that maybe there was another kedushin here because they were secluded overnight, and therefore we don't require a second get, even according to Beis Hillel. Now, on that the Gemara comes to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Babachana Amar B'Yechanan. He says, Machlekes B'Shiru'ush Nevela. Machlekes B'Sham B'Sil was, not only that they, quote, spent the night together, but that there were witnesses who saw husband, this former husband and wife, cohabiting together that night after they were already divorced. Whereas we continue on to Medbeis, where Rabbi Yechanan explains, the B'Sham Esavri Odom Eisa B'Ilois Nus, where B'Sham hold that a person, he would actually cohabit in a way that his cohabitations are morally inappropriate. In other words, as long as we didn't hear the husband say, meaning they saw them cohabiting, but as long as we didn't hear him say that I'm doing this bi'ila to create a new kedushin, because one of the ways, of the three ways of a man being a kaddish, a woman, is through bi'a. So B'Shami holds that no, a person would just have an inappropriate act of cohabitation, and as long as we didn't hear him saying, because he just got divorced from her, so as long as we didn't hear him saying that he's doing a L'Shem Kedushin, then we don't say that the Kedushin was, that the Bia was for purposes of Kedushin. And therefore, yeah, we could assume that he actually did it as an act of Znus, just a way of having out-of-wedlock relations with this woman who happens to be his ex-wife, but it was not for the purposes of getting remarried to her. And therefore, Bishame says, even though we see them cohabiting, according to the interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, we wouldn't need a second get, because they never got married. But Obasilas, however, Basil hold, no. In Adam Isabilasabilasno. So a regular man would not want his bias, his cohabitations, to be one of inappropriate, promiscuous, out of wedlock type of relationships. And therefore, since we saw them cohabiting, we would assume that his bia was for the purposes, although he just got divorced, he had a change of heart, and it was, again, to be mekadesh, and that's why you would need a second get. Avol, but, says Rabbi Yechanan, loy ru'u shenivla, if let's say they literally just spent the night in the hotel, and we don't have witnesses that saw them cohabiting, says Rabbi Yechanan, divrei hakol ein etzrichem en haget sheni, then everyone would agree, even Beis Hillel, that you wouldn't need a second get from the husband for the wife, because there's no witnesses, we don't know that they had bia, and therefore there's no reason to assume, yeah, if they had bia, then Beis Hillel says, we would assume it wasn't for purposes of Znus, rather for Kedushin, and you would need a get sheni in contrast to Beis Hillel. Now, on this interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara asks from our Mishnah Tanan. We learned, Umaydim that Beis Hillel agree, B'nisgar Shemina Erisin, if the divorce that had happened was from their engagement only, again, halachic engagement, not the engagement of our times, meaning that the ring was given, and in Talmudic times they would have this 12-month gap between the engagement and the nisuin, which we all have at one time by the chuppah. So Beis Hillel agree when there was gerushin from the erisin, she'ein etzricha mena get sheni, that, oh, then you don't need to have a second get, even though whatever happened in the case of the reisha, meaning when there was divorce from nisuin, when they have divorce from erisin, then you don't need to have a second get. Why? She'ein liba gaspa, because he's not so friendly with her, comfortable with her, so intimate yet. They never really got married yet, so then there's no concern. Now, that the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation, I don't understand. Ve'i b'sheru'a shenivla, if you're interpreting the case of what they were describing when the divorce was from Nisuin, that's where Beis Hillel says that you need to get sheni. B'Sham says you don't need, where it's talking about that we saw them cohabiting. So ask the Gemara, mali mina erisin and mali mina nisuin, what's the difference if the divorce originally was from that they were engaged or from that they were married? Doesn't make a difference. We see them having bia. And Beis Hillel said that a person does not have bias for purposes of nus. If we're seeing them having bia, must be for the purposes of kedushin. So why, if they were gerusha from erisin, wouldn't Beis Hillel require, if we see them having bia here in this pundik, in this hotel, that to require a new get? Because obviously, there was bia, because we saw. And if there was bia, then obviously it was for the purposes of kedusha. So El Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. Obviously, in our Mishnah, you can't say that. Masnitin, to explain the halacha of the Mishnah, must be told ma b'shaloi ru'ur shenivla. Of course, our Mishnah is describing a case when we did not see them cohabiting. In other words, this that Basil requires a second get is because when the Gerishin was from Nisuin, is because he was married to her. It could be, let's say, a year, 2 years, whatever it is, so he's comfortable with her. He's what's called Gaspa. So then Basil assumes if they would spend the night together, for sure they had Bia. And since a person does not make his Bia with that of his nose, that's why Basil says that must be that there was a Kedushin over here. Because we know for sure they probably had Bia. And you can have Bia, it's not going to be for his nose, it must be for Kedushin. And that's what you need a second get. Whereas Bishami says that, no. But again, yeah, it was from Arison. Since they're not so comfortable, even if they spent the night together, we don't assume that they had Bia. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned that there was a Kedushin over here to require a second get. But Rabbi Yechanan, the Amma, but Rabbi Yechanan, he said that the Machlekes is not when they didn't see, but rather when they did see, when witnesses saw them cohabiting, he's going Kihai Tana. He's going like a different Tana, not like the Tana of a Mishnah. He qualifies the Machlekes, the Tana, like Luna Brisa, like Amr B'Shem Ben Lazar. B'Shem Ben Lazar says, Loi nechluku b'shamer b'shil al shaloi ru'ur shenivla. Rabbi Shimon Lazar says exactly like Rabbi Yechanan. He says, b'shamer b'shil do not disagree if no one saw them cohabiting. That then we do not require a second get because we didn't see them cohabiting, and therefore, if we didn't see them cohabiting, so therefore you don't require a second get. Aman nechliku regarding what was the case that they disagree. Ashurush and nevela when we saw them cohabiting. The Beishamai say, yeah, you saw them cohabiting, and therefore what? You don't require a second get. A person would go ahead and do an act of nus and not necessarily be doing it for kedushin. But Beisil said, no, a person would not make his bia of his nus. Since we saw them cohabiting, yes, according to this opinion of Shimon Loza, there wouldn't be no difference if the gerushin was from Arison or Nisuan. Even if it was from Arison, we see them having bia, must be for purposes of kedushin, and in all those cases, not like the Mishnah, it would require a get sheni. Now, the Gemara asks, okay, fine. So there's a machlekes how to interpret the machlekes b'sham esil. But the Gemara asks, umas nitin du kimna b'lay ruish nevela. So we explain how Rabbi Yechanan explains the machlekes. But our Mishnah that talks about the case is that when we didn't see them, we just know they spent the night. They just were secluded. We didn't see them having bia, so b'may plegi. So then what is the machlekes b'sham esil? So the Gemara explains, d'ika eide yichud v'leka eide bia. The Machlekes is describing a case where we have witnesses who saw them secluded. We know they spent the night. But, v'leka edibi, there's no witnesses who saw them having cohabitation. Where b'shamei sabi, b'shamei hold, lo yaminan hein hein edi yichud v'hein hein edibi. We don't say that witnesses that see them being secluded are essentially witnesses that saying that they had bia. No, not true. Could be they were secluded and they didn't have bia. U'besil sabi, however b'sil hold, no, aminan hein hein edi yichud vehein hein edi bia. The witnesses who see them having being secluded are essentially witnesses who saw them having bia. In other words, since we saw them being secluded, you don't need to have witnesses that saw them having bia because there's no greater testimony that they had bia than this. Because we say what's called anan sahadi, we say definitely what happened since they're so friendly, they were married, they know each other very well, that must have been if they spent the night together, that they probably were intimate. And if that's the case, so says Basil, you would need to go ahead, since again, if we assume that they had bia, then we're assuming that it was for purposes of a kedushin, and that's why you would need to have a get sheni. But our Mishnah tells us, umaydim, b'neskarshim and erisim, but Basil agrees, if they were originally only engaged, and the divorce was from engagement, and even if they spent the night together, but no one saw them having bia, that then we would not require a second get from him. To kiven the ain liba gospel, like the Mishnah explains, because since he's not so comfortable with her, they never yet were intimate, they were never married, so even though they're spending the night secluded together, lo yamrinan hein hein edibi. We don't say that that's definitely, necessarily a testimony that they had bia together. Could be they were just secluded because they're not so comfortable and they were never at that point to say that for sure just being secluded is indicating that they were intimate together. So again, that's the Machlekes Rabbi Yechanan, which is like Rabbi Shimon Lazar, and one interpretation of Machlekes B'Sham Esil, that it's actually when Sharush and Nivala, Whereas the Mishnah says the machlekes is al shaloi brush and nibla, where we didn't see them having bia. Now, however, the Gemara asks on what we said. Umi amar b'yichna hachi, did Rabbi Yechina really say, like we mentioned before, that when we didn't see them having bia, that then there's no machlekes b'sham b'sil, and b'sil would not require a get, meaning like the Tana of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, not like the Tana of our Mishnah? Because the Tana of Mishnah holds that even when we didn't see them having bia, just secluded, is where Beisil holds that we would require a get sheni, because, like we said, heinein edi yichid, heinein edi bia. But v'amar Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon, it says, as mentioned many times in Shas, halacha gestam Mishnah, halacha is like an anonymous Mishnah, which is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is an anonymous Mishnah. V'okimna lemas niten b'shaloi ruish anivulam. We just explained that our Mishnah is describing the machlekes b'sham Beisil, meaning that Beisil requires a get sheni, even when we didn't see them having bia. So how could Rabbi Yechonin say, like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, like the Tana, the Braisa, who says that if we did not see them having bia, Beisil would hold that you did not need to get cheni. But our Mishnah says that you do need to get cheni. And we know Rabbi Yechonin holds like a stam Mishnah. So how could he say like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? So the Gemara says, Amayron in Rabbi Rabbi Yechonin. It's a machlekes Amayron according to Rabbi Yechonin. Meaning, yes, there is one opinion that says Rabbi Yechonin always hold halachas stam Mishnah. That Amayron would hold that he does not say like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The opinion that we mentioned in our Gemara, that Rabbi Yechonin is saying, like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, not like our Mishnah, is a different Amar who disagrees with that premise that Rabbi Yechonin always holds, like a Stam Mishnah, and therefore he could disagree with the Tana of our Mishnah, and rather Paskin, like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme, about a get puzzle. So the Mishnah tells us, Kenasa beget kireach. If a man married a woman, because he saw she was divorced from her husband, but the get that she was divorced with from her first husband was what's called a bold get. Now, what this is, actually the end of our Mishnah describes what makes a get kereach, which is, it's puzzle when there's more folds than there are witnesses signed on the folds. Which, this is explained in Baba Basra, Kaf Samach Mebeis, where the Gemara there tells us that the Rabbanan instituted what's called a get mekusher, a knotted, a tied get. Now, the reason why they made this intricate form of a get was because there were certain kahanim that were what's called kabdanim. They would get mad very quickly. So when they would get upset at their wives, they would quickly authorize a get and they would give it to their wives. Now, when they would calm down, they would regret what they did. Now, the problem is, if he was a Yisrael, he could go ahead and remarry his wife because she hasn't married anyone yet. But by a kohen, in the moment he divorces her, he can't remarry her because she's a grusha. So what the sages instituted was a certain tool to prevent this problem, what's called a get mekusher, which is not so easily written up. So since it's a whole procedure and it takes a long time until it's written, maybe in that interim he's going to calm down and they'll say, well, okay, you know what, hold on, don't give it to my wife, I changed my mind, I don't want to divorce her. And thereby preventing this kahana from being stuck, not being able to maintain the relationship with their wives. Now the way it was done was that they would sign on the outside, and that is they would write one or two lines, then they would fold that over a part of the get which was not written on. Then they would sew that part, and one witness would sign on that part which was folded over on the outside. Then they would write again another two or more lines on the inside, and then they would fold over that part on the part that wasn't written on. And then the second witness would write on that part, and so too the third witness would do the same thing, would sign on the next folded part. Now, this is what the halacha of where get kereach comes in, is if, let's say, there is a folded part, which was another fold, and there's no witness signed on that outside fold, that's what's called a get kereach. It's bold, meaning there's nothing written on it, and that's possible. As the Gemara will explain, the reason for this is because maybe, and this is what we're concerned for, maybe the husband said what's called kulchem, as we've had this concept earlier in the Masechta, where if, let's say, there's many witnesses that are available for him to sign, and he says, I want all of you to sign on this get mekusher, where generally, that the reason why we're concerned for this kulchem is, because generally that according to however many folds there are, that's how many witnesses were prepared from beforehand, which were, because you're not going to make every fold disposed of a witness sign. So if you have, let's say, eight folds, so then you would assume that there were eight witnesses prepared to sign. Now, if what ends up happening is that if there is one fold that that not signed on, so we're going to be concerned that maybe if there were really eight witnesses and only seven ended up signing, that maybe he had originally told them, I want all of you to sign. And if one of them didn't sign, that, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that's a psul, because it has to be exactly like he said, where he said, Kulchem, I want all of you eight to sign, and now only seven of them sign. So that's called a get kerech. That's bold. It's missing one person sign on the one of the folds, which is problematic, because it's not, because it might be that he had said Kulchem, and if he said Kulchem and one person didn't sign, that's an invalid get. So therefore, if another man married a woman with this get, which was a get kerech, which is a get pasul, so then, as we said earlier on the Peyamad Aleph, which spoke about many types of gitin, although let's say it's just missing the date of the monarch or something like that, still we consider that a get pasul. And Tetzei Mezeh Mezeh, she would have to leave both the original husband and her new husband, because although she really was never divorced, but that's the kenas that we do, where as a saita who now had relations with a new man, thinking she was divorced, she's also labal, labayil, and b'chol adrachim ha'iluba, and all the different ways we spoke about in the Mishnah Pei apply over here, where she doesn't get her ksuba, and she doesn't get her blois, doesn't get her peiris, all the different halachas, the husbands don't have the mitzia, her ma'isi yadayim, and so on. Again, because it was really a get puzzle. Now, however, the Mishnah does qualify and says that get kereach, but regarding this get that's bald, meaning because one of the folds are missing a witness, so on that, the Mishnah tells us hakol mashlimin alav. So regarding, let's say you had eight folds and one fold is missing a witness, says the Mishnah, everyone could complete that fold. In other words, even what's usually an eight puzzle, an invalid witness, he could sign on that last fold. Because truthfully, there's nothing really wrong with an extra fold without having a witness on it. The whole concern is because maybe later on, that when Besdin, someone's going to see this get, that it doesn't have a witness on the last fold, they're going to say it's possible, because they're going to say that maybe what happened is, we would assume that if there's that many folds, that's how many witnesses were prepared to sign, and maybe that he said kulchem and not everyone signed. Oh, so that's absolute. But now that we see every fold signed on, even if it's eight pasul, as the Ran explains, meaning they'll know that he was just signing so that we shouldn't be concerned, so you shouldn't think that there was a kulchem and we didn't have everyone sign. So as long as you have it covered, Divrei Ben Anas, he says, it doesn't make a difference who signs on that last fold. It doesn't even have to be a kosher aid. He could sign on that just to take care of this problem of get kereach. Now, Reb Kiva, I mean, he says, no. A mashlimin alav, you cannot complete the signatures of the folds. As long as is he at least, even though he's problematic, because he's a relative, and a relative can't usually be a witness, but at least he has to be someone that in another context would be a valid kosher aid. It's just in this relationship he's not valid. So since he's not a possible aid, this is just a relative, so then he could complete the last fold for this halacha not to be a problem of a get kereach. But someone that's a ganav or a gazlan, he wouldn't be able to sign, as the Gemara will explain the reason for Reb Kiva's opinion. Now the Mishnah concludes, as we already mentioned, ve'ezehu get kereach. What is this problematic get, what's called a bold get? It's called shiksharav mirubin me'edav, is when you have more folds than witnesses. So if you have an extra fold that no one signed in it, again, that's our problem where we say that that's not a kosher get, because then what might end up happening is problematic, because then they're going to think that maybe there's kulchem and they're going to invalidate it at a later point in time. So right now already we say that's not a kosher get. And if the woman got married with it, teitzei mezeh mezeh, v'chol adrachim ho'eluba. Now, the Gemara explains, which we already alluded to in the Mishnah, that my time of the get kereach, what's the reason? Why is this, when you have more folds than witnesses, what we call the bold get, why is that considered a get puzzle? Says the Gemara, Gzeir Mishum Kulchem, again, as we explained already from Rashi in the Mishnah, because we're concerned that if there's an extra fold, must have been that there were that many witnesses prepared. And if that means there were so many, let's say, eight witnesses prepared and only seven signed, well, maybe he told them, I want all of you, because you could assume that if that's how many were prepared and he had a certain number, maybe he had told them all of you. And if that was the case, it's really get puzzle, and therefore, even biblically, she's not really divorced. So rabbinically, we say, since of that concern, we consider it even now as a get puzzle. Now, the Mishnah told us this machlekes regarding get kereach. The first opinion of Ben Anas said, hakol mashlimin alav. Everyone could complete, even an eight puzzle. Whereas Rabbi Kiva disagreed, and he says, no, you can't have a ganav, a gazlan, or an eved. You can't have an intrinsically possible aid. You could have a relative, where though a relative usually is possible for this relationship, but since he's in generally intrinsically a kosher witness, he could be mashlim for this last fold to sign on it. Now, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Kiva, eved my time alive. Why does he say, let's say, a slave can't be mashlman it. Because the asul lemei makashal edus, because then we're going to come to say that, oh, wait a second, how is he one of the witnesses signed? We're going to say that a slave is kosher to sign as a witness, which he's really not, he's a slave. So on that, the Gemara asks, well, karav nami asul lemei makashal edus. Then people are going to come to say that a relative is also valid to sign as a witness, because he's allowing a relative to sign. So it rather must be from the fact that Rebbe Akiva allows a relative to sign as one of the witnesses on this get mekusher, obviously because people are proficient in the halachas of edus, and they're not going to come to validate either non-kosher witnesses or relatives as witnesses. So then what's the reason why he allows a karev and not an evet? Ella rather explains the Gemara. Evet ha'iner taima, what's the reason why Rebbe Akiva holds that a slave cannot sign? The dilma asul la'suki le'yuchsin, because there's a different problem. Yeah, no one's going to be concerned for the halachas of edus. We know about halachas of edus. We see a slave, we're not going to think a slave is kosher to sign as witnesses. But the problem is because people are going to say from the fact that this slave signed on the get, must be he's not a slave. And therefore they're going to come to elevate him for the purposes of lineage, and that they're going to say he must be a Jewish, regular Jewish person, because only a Jewish person is kosher to sign as a witness, and they're going to end up marrying him off to a Jewish woman, which that's a problem, because he's not really a Jewish man, he's a slave. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, if that's the reason of Rebbe Akiva, well, then Gazlin, the Bar Yuchsin, who then take a different apostle aid, not a karav. Let's say a thief, who he is a full-fledged Jew, Liskasher, he should be kosher to sign on the get for the Hashlama. So, Alamatznan, why do you learn in the Mishnah, Rebbe Akiva, he says that no, Imash Limino love, you can't sign on any intrinsically aid apostle, including an Evid and a Gazlin. El Kroivim, only relatives, Haru'uyim Lehaid B'makam Acher, who are fit to say testimony elsewhere, which Karvin Gazan Loy, that only includes a relative, not a thief, because a thief can't say any testimony. He's Pasla Edis. But regarding Yuchasin, regarding marriage, there is no problem, because he is a valid Jew to marry a Jewish woman. So why do you not allow a Gazlan if seemingly that's the same element, what it has in common with a Karv, in contrast to the Abbot? So El Rav, the Gemara says that the truthfully as we had originally assumed, that the reason what Rebbe Akiva is concerned for is because we might come to run into problems to validate for the halachas of testimony. Now, but then the question was, then a relative too, because a relative is also not allowed to say testimony, but he's allowing a relative. And that the Gemara says, no, you can't compare it. Because Eved Hainu Taima, the reason that it's a problem by a slave, is because the Asulo Meme Shechru Shachra Rei, they're going to say that must be that this slave, who we know was a slave, must be he was freed. In other words, even first of all, people that recognize, they know he was a slave. And they're also proficient in halachas of edus. They're not going to come to confuse and think that an evet can be as a slave. They open up the oral law and they know that a slave can't be a witness. But they're going to come to validate him as a witness, meaning let's say for future. Because they're going to say, wait a second, for the fact that he signed on this get mekusher must be that his master has freed him. So that the problem is going to be with him per se, not in general regarding slaves. So too, Gazlan, let's say we have a thief signing on the get mekusher. Nami Aslamema, people are going to come to say from the fact that they had him sign, obviously, that tshuva ovid, that must be that he had done repentance and he's not a Gazlan anymore. He's like a regular Yisrael who can say testimony, which he didn't do. That's why we can't use an Evid or a Gazlan. But Karav, Mayakal Meimah, but says the Gemara, what's the problem you're going to run into with relatives? Karav, Kuli Alma, Yadi, the Karav, where everybody knows that he's a relative. In other words, this is a leniency that we allow, as we'll see, regarding the halachas of Get Mekusha. Because these requirements are only rabbinic, so we allow a relative. But so why don't you allow then other Eidim Sulam? A relative is Eid Pasul, at least for this context. So why don't you allow an Evid or a Gazan? The problem is because for the future, and this Evid, we might say if he signed, he must be his aid kosher, because there must have been that he was freed. This Gazlan, they're going to say, must be he had done tshuva. But we know he's a relative. So we're not going to come to say that he can then sign for other testimony regarding this person, because we know he's a relative and we know the halachas of Eidus. It's only in this context of Get Mekusha that we allow, since there's no future problems for relatives, that's why Rebbe Akiva allows that. In contrast, he disagrees with Ben Nanes regarding Evid and Gazlan. Now, if the Gemara qualifies where it is that Benanis and Rebbe Akiva disagree. So, Amr Bzeir, Amr Rababar, Sheilta, Amr Babnuna, Saba, Amr Adabar Ava. Meaning, there was as we'll see, this was the chain. Rebbe Zeir had said in the name of Rababar Shilta, who had said in the name of Hamnuna Saba, who had said in the name of Adabar Ava. So, he explains that get kereach, this psul, this invalidation of a bald get, which means, again, you're missing one fold without having a witness sign in it. So he explains. It's, for example, when you have Ksharv Shiva, Ve'edav Shisha, where there's seven folds, but only six witnesses signed. Or Shisha Ve'edav Chamisha, six folds, five witnesses. Chamisha Ve'edav Arba, five folds and four witnesses. Arba Ve'edav Shlesha, four folds and only three witnesses. Says the Gemara, says Rab Zeira, Ad kan machlekes benanas. It was only up until that type of a case where there's the machlekes benanas Rabbi Kiva. Avol ksharv shleisha ve'edav shnayim. But if there's three folds and two witnesses, divrei hakol, everyone would agree, ein mashlimin alav. You cannot complete the third fold with someone that's pasul. Ella rather has to be either someone that's kosher, or it could be a karev. Now, the reason being why three is different than four, five, six, seven, and more is because a get mekusher, from its inception, required three witnesses. That was the Ikra Takana, as the Gemara tells us in Paraket Pashin and Masechta Baba Basra, because the Rabbanan instituted, again, that was the whole purpose, as we remember, with these hot-headed Kahanim, that we need to have at least that enough time that you're going to have three witnesses sign, then maybe he'll calm down from his anger. So that third witness is from the inception of the takana. So therefore, that you can't let, even according to Benanas, any Eved or any Gazlan. There, everyone would agree that you have to have, at the most, a Karv. Now, that the Gemara asks, I don't understand. Omer Reb Zeira l'Rabbi Bar Shitla. So Reb Zeira asked to the one that he was saying over in the name of, meaning the one who had told it to him, which was Rabbi Bar Shitla. He says, Mechti, let's see. Kol Shleisha B'Makusher, all three witnesses that are on this knotted, folded get, since, as we're saying, its primary testimony are three witnesses, so essentially it's kishnayim b'pasha dami. It's just like the halacha that applies by a regular get when you need to have two witnesses. So the question is asking him, so why is the third witness that you're saying to sign on the third fold kosher if he's a relative? I don't understand. Mahasam karav loy, just like by regular get, when you need two witnesses, none of the two witnesses can be a relative. So here also, the third witness on the get mekusha, who is part of the intrinsic validation of this get, shouldn't be able to be a relative either because he's not a kosher witness. So amalei. So actually, Rabbi Bar Shilta said to Rabbi Zeira, he says, afli didi kashli. I know I told you this halacha, but this question also bothered me. V'shilta l'Rav Amnuna, and I asked Rav Amnuna, who I was saying over in his name. Now, Rav Amnuna was bothered by the same question, and he asked Rav Adbar Abba, who he was saying over in his name. Amalei and Rabbi Adbar Hava said to him, Hanach l'shleisha b'makusha, leave alone the difficulty you have by these three witnesses that are signed on a get makusha, the lav day raisa, because that third witness is not a biblical requirement. Because as we're saying, it's a rabbinic institution to help out these hot-headed kahanim. So as a way of slowing them down, he said, no, you kahanim, you need to have a get makusha. You need to have it folded and you need to have three witnesses. But biblically, you don't need to have three witnesses, you only need to have two. So since that third witness is only a rabbinic halacha, so they were lenient in allowing it to be a karv. But since it's from the Ikra Takana, even Benanis would agree that it can't be an Eved or a Gazlan, but again, it could still be a karv. It doesn't have to be a regular Eid Kasha. So the Gemara says, Tani Amahachi, similar to the Braisa, like this halacha of Rav Adbar Abba. The Braisa says, get kereach, if you have a bold get, it says the same thing. Ksharv shisha, shiva ve'edav shisha. So if you have seven folds and six witnesses, shisha ve'edav chamisha, six folds and five witnesses. Chamisha ve'edav abba, five folds and four witnesses. Or above ve'edav shlesha, four folds and three witnesses. Ad kan machlekes benanas Rebbe Kiva. It's only there, in those cases, where Benana says any pasul, and Rebbe Kiva says, no, it has to be at most a relative. There is, as we explained, Hishlam love Eved, if let's say, for let's say the case of let's say 7 and 6 or 6 and 5 and so on, so if the last one that completes the extra fold is a slave, that's where Benanis Oyma Havlad Kasha. Benanis says the child's going to be Kasha, it's a valid get, because you could even, it's not intrinsic really to have 7 folds with 7 witnesses, it's just a concern of Kulchem, so for that purposes you could have even the Eved sign. Rebbe Kiva Oyma Havlad Mamzer, Rebbe Kiva said no, the child's going to be a Mamzer, because it's not appropriate to have. And it is included in the psul of Ged Kereach, if you can have it signed by a Gazan or by Eved, again, because we might come to validate them at a later point in time, and therefore that was not included in allowing that to be Hashlama. And if it's like you didn't sign, and it's a Ged Kereach, so the child, it's not a valid Ged, and it will be included in the Halacha of HaMishnah, Kunasa B'Ged Kereach, Teitzim Zemezeh, and the child would be a Mamzer. Aval, but says the Braisa, Ksharv Shleishav Edim Shnayim, if there's three folds and only two witnesses, Divrei Hakol Ein Mashlimin Lav Elakav. Everyone would agree that that third witness can only be a relative. So again, exactly like Reb Zeir had said, in the name of all those, in the name of Reb Ad Bar Ahava. But however, Reb Yosef Masni, Reb Yosef actually had a different tradition, a different halacha that he heard from Reb Zeir in the name of Rabbi Bar Shilta, that he said actually that when the halacha was that if there's three folds and only two witnesses, that actually you could only be ma'aslam on it, an aid that is kosher. The three witnesses, meaning the third one, has to be kosher, can't be even a relative. Well, that the Gemara asks, but Vatanya, we just quote a brisa that says like the first version that even if it's a karev, the third witness does not have to be a kosher witness, it could be even a relative. So Amar Papa, he answers for Rabbi Yosef, Tani kosher. You have to amend that, and you have to read that the brisa is saying that the third one can't be a karev, rather has to be an aid kosher. Now, however, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan says, regarding this halacha, this dispensation that we're allowing, regarding a get kereach, that if you have one extra fold which wasn't signed on it, that there's this, you know, you have, where we're saying that it could be, let's say even the third one, can be a karev, or if you have more than that, we said the banana says it can be a pasul, where Rabbi Kiva says no, always has to be at most a karev. So says Rabbi Yechanan, if let's say by this get kereach, there were actually two extra folds that weren't signed on. Not one extra, two extra folds. So Rabbi Yechanan, then lay hochshur boy. Then there they did not permit. You cannot be mashlamit then with two relatives. Ella, eid echad, karev bilvat. The most you can do to add on is you would have to have from those two extra folds, one of them has got to be signed now by eid kasher. And then the other one extra one could be signed on with a relative. So in other words, as Rashi explains, even if we already had three kosher witnesses, so according to everybody, even according to the Rabbi Yosef's version, that the minimum you have to have are three kosher witnesses, even if you had three kosher witnesses, says Rabbi Yechanan, let's say it was a case of seven folds and six signatures, so instead of being seven and six, it was actually seven and five, you had two extra folds without any signatures on it, one of them would have to be signed by eid kosher, and only one extra one could be signed on by a relative. Meaning, because even Rabbi Kiva, who allows a relative, could only be for one fold, not two. As Rabbi Yechanan says, avatrei loy, but not for two. Now, what's the reason? Why? What's the problem? You already have your basic three, and the rest are just extra. They're just to take care of the hashlama part that we shouldn't be concerned for kulchem. So why can't you have, let's say, two relatives sign on the extra, you know, when from seven to five, the extra two? So Rabbi Yechanan explains the reason is because dilma asal l'kiyume. Because maybe today, they're going to validate such a get. Because really, there's no problem. But at a later point in time, let's say there's going to be what's called irur. Rumors, there's going to be a husband contesting the get, whoever it is contesting, to invalidate the get. So they're going to bring the get to court. And now, we don't have those witnesses in front of us to verify their signatures. So what you do is, as you always do, you bring witnesses from the marketplace who recognize, at least for this get mekusher, at least three witnesses that are signed on it to validate it. And that's how you mekayim the get. Now, the problem is that maybe those other people who they're being brought in to say, do you recognize these signatures? We got to validate this get. Maybe they're only going to recognize, yes, they're going to recognize three of the signatures, but you know which three it's going to be? Maybe it's going to be betray kraven b'chad kosher. They're going to recognize three signatures, but it's going to be two of the relatives and one of the kosher witnesses. Now the problem is that the courts are not going to know that they're relatives, and they're going to end up validating this get with possible aides. You cannot be mekayimit with those two relatives. They were signed, yes, as add-ons, but the problem is we're not going to know who's the add-ons, and then the other people are going to verify it based on two karevim, and yes, you need three, but only going to have one kosher witness, and the other ones are going to be are psulim in this context because they karevim, and that's going to be inappropriate because you're going to be validating based on non-kosher witnesses for this get, which are karevim. So because of that, says Rabbi Yechanan, you can only add on one karev, but not two karevim. Amrav Ashi, Ashi says that Masnita, that this brisa that we quoted before that said, this case of how many folds there can be, that there are seven folds and six witnesses, or six fold and five witnesses, and so on, actually Nami Deka, is actually also precise to indicate Rabbi Yechanan's halacha. Because we don't find in any one of the cases mentioned by the Tana of the brisa to mention regarding two extra folds. In other words, it doesn't say, oh, what's if there's five folds and only three witnesses? It doesn't say that. Obviously, that there's no disagreement in that case that even a relative even according to Rabbi Akiva, according to everybody, would not be kosher because it's only kosher, like Rabbi Yechon says, for one extra fold, but not for two extra folds. As the Gemara continues on top of Pei Beis and Aleph, because the komedalik v'toni chad chad. The Tana the Braisa, when he keeps on skipping the cases, he goes down one by one by one from seven folds and six witnesses to six folds and five witnesses. Each one that it counts, it only goes one further down. So Shema Minah, we could obviously infer like the halacha like Rabbi Yechon, because if it actually had two folds, the Tana the Braisa would agree that even a relative would not be kosher, again, like Rabbi Yechon is concerned because of what's going to be later on when they're verifying this document, which might end up being two relatives and one kosher for the three witnesses of the Get Mekosher, which is a problem because you can't validate it with witnesses that are relatives. Now, moreover, related to this, Amma Abaye says, Shema Minah, what more we can infer from this Mishnah is High Karav Chasim. This relative that we said that could sign on the Get Mekosher, says Abaye must be Ibayi if he wants to, Bein Betchila. He could sign even before the kosher witnesses, Bein Be'emtza, or even in the middle somewhere, or Bein Besayf, or at the end. Mimai, says Abaye, how do I know this? Midaloi Kavale Makam. From the fact that the Mishnah doesn't say regarding this Get Kereach, when we said that a relative could sign to be Mashlim, it doesn't say where he has to sign. So from the fact that it doesn't say, he could sign anywhere in those, let's say, seven signatures, wherever he wants to, beginning, middle, or end. Now, moreover, Abaye takes it one step further. Now, Ushma Minah, what more you could infer from the fact that, as we see from the time of the Mishnah, he didn't say exactly where this Karev could sign. Obviously, that whenever you have a Get Mekusher or a Shtar Mekusher that's being processed, that's being brought into a Beis Din, when they're coming to verify the signatures that are signed on that get, that mikol telasa, it must mean that from any three witnesses that are signed, that the witnesses from the street who they're being brought in to see if they recognize the witnesses to verify from the ear on the star of the get, mikaiminan, that we could be mikaim the get, and v'loy be'inin ritzufin. They don't need to verify three consecutive of, let's say there were 10 witnesses that were signed on this get mekusha. So the witnesses in the marketplace, they could recognize, oh, I recognize that first guy. Oh, I know who that third guy is. Oh, I know who that fifth guy is. And they don't have to recognize three consecutive witnesses. Why? Abaye says, how do I know this? Because the isal gadai derbi'in and ritzufin, because if you would entertain to say that when they're coming to verify the get mekosher, it has to be three consecutive witnesses in a row, so why did we say, and we proved it from the Braisa, the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, that you could only be mashlim with one relative, and we said the reason is because we're concerned that maybe when they're coming to be megayim to get at a later point in time, they're going to verify it with two of the witnesses being relatives and one of them being kosher, which is a problem. And that says about why likva le makim lahai karev. What do you mean? Designate a specific place of where the relative is allowed to sign as being mashlim the folds of being signed on. Either, let's say, you'll say that he's only going to sign betchila, in the beginning, before two kosher witnesses, meaning for every three witnesses that are signed, you'll say that the first of those three is the relative. Oy be'emtza, or say that in the middle, say for every three witnesses that are signed, you'll have the relative in the middle. So, for example, you have kosher, karev, and kosher. And then again, you'll sign a kosher witness, a relative, and the kosher witnesses, and so on for every groups of three. Oy basayif, or actually at the end of every three, you'll have the last one being the relative. And then v'lachshir bay, and then you'd be able to actually permit to have tuva, more relatives to be signed, not just one. And you won't run into the concern that we described from Rabbi Yechanan before, that maybe you're going to come to verify and you're going to have two relatives and one kosher witness, because you can't have two relatives in every groups of consecutive three. Because as we said, if we're going to be kaveya makim, must be that you're going to have, you're never going to have two relatives, that you're not going to have two kosher witnesses in between. So obviously that's what Abaye is proving from the fact that we do not find, as we prove in the Braisa, allowing to have more than two witnesses signed by designating the place of where they are. So obviously that you do not need consecutive validation of which witnesses you know and you recognize on, let's say, these 10 witnesses that are signed on the Get Mekusher. And that is why we're concerned that maybe you're going to come to verify the get with witnesses that are dispersed, meaning number 1 and 4 and 7, and those two of those three might be relatives. because since there's no designated place where they are, then you might run into the problem. Again, that also proves that when they are verifying, that it doesn't have to be consecutive. And since it doesn't have to be consecutive, that's why it might end up being the witnesses, because if it did have to be consecutive, then set a place for where they should be, and then you'll know that you could have even more than one relative sign on it, because you'll know you won't run into Rabbi Yechiel's problem of having more than, of verifying the three witnesses from two of them being relatives. So again, that's how Abaye proves from the halacha that he says that we don't set a place, must be also that the verification that witnesses have to do on the get mekusha at a later point in time does not have to be beretzifus in consecutive form. It could be any three witnesses. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion, quoting a ma'isa lahalacha, ki asu l'kamei de Rabami, when people come in front of Rabami with a get mekusha, where, as Rashi points out, where they did not specify that all these witnesses have to sign for the amount of folds that there were, but they just happen to make, let's say, more folds than witnesses that they have, and the scribe was there and the witnesses were there, but they didn't yet give it over to the woman. So Amalei, so he would tell them, say, v'hishlam alav evin min ashok. Go ahead and complete the, because you have an extra fold over here, no one signed on it. So you could even go ahead and have a slave that signed on it, even from just bringing some slave from the marketplace. You don't have to have a kosher witness. And on that is that the Gemara is proving that Rabbi held, like Benanis of our Mishnah, that a get kerech, you could be mashlam on it, even a person that's puzzle intrinsically, like an Eved, again, because the whole purpose is not for witnesses' purposes, and then we're going to verify, you're going to need three, so even if this guy is one of the three, it's not a problem, because you'll have two kosher witnesses, and he's not concerned for him, because he's concerned, so therefore, to be mashman it, you can even be mashman it, this Eved, as the last witness. Hanu l'chazorik, we shall return to you, the eighth parak, Mesetas Gittin, parak hazorik.